John chapter 18. Verse number, did you say something? I'm sorry. Okay. John chapter 18, and we'll start off in verse number 12. And if we can, then just try to get some understanding about what's going on right here. Some things I've noticed, we're probably going to finish up tonight with this, crucifixion. Unless the Lord just leads us on. But something happens. He comes out of the garden, and they're not long thereafter waiting on him. And it was a time of him preparing for this. You know, the Lord Jesus, he prepared for stuff. You know what's good for you and I to do? Prepare. You better prepare for storms ahead. It's easy for me as your pastor to stand up here and say, church, you better prepare for the storms because they're coming. And then I get blindsided. Because I wasn't worried about the storms coming to affect me. I was worried about the storms coming to affect you. And so I wasn't paying near close attention. I should have been, is what I was trying to say tonight. But the Lord come out of the garden and he knew what was going to happen. He wasn't blindsided. You didn't catch him by surprise. And so he comes out of there and he's prayed and he's prepared. And now whenever he faces this mob, if you will, of people that hate good, he's got to deal with it. John chapter 18 and verse 12, the Bible says, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. Wow. Now that might not seem like a lot to you. But I've been reading this thing over and over and over and over for the last 4 weeks. And Brother Jody, when I read where people comes to Jesus and they bind him, that's big. That's big. Brother Darnell, would you pray for me, brother, please? Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. What I've got tonight is definitely not something new. Not something new. It's something that men have been reading down through the ages. No doubt everybody in here has read over this text many times, many times, many times, many times. And as we look at this text and we see what happens, we see that whenever Jesus comes out of the garden and then they come and they come looking for him in verse number 4, he said, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Can I say this just for openers? When they seen him, they did not recognize him. What does that mean, Brother Edward? That means that we need to have great patience with that world out there. Because when we witness to them and we try to tell them about him, they don't recognize him. They don't recognize him. He asked him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, said, whom seek ye? They could have, if they'd have known who it was, you know, I think they'd have said, you. We come to get you. A Judas is with him. I wonder why he didn't point him out. The Bible says, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. I'm talking about the most powerful speech has ever been spoken. I want to look at them putting their grasp on him tonight, if you will, the seizing of Christ, the capture of Christ, however you want to say it tonight. But this is the time when they've come out, and they've come out with anticipation. They've come out with an attitude that we're going to get him no matter what it takes. Amen. Can I say it like this here? They got the same attitude that a lot of shoppers have on what they call that Black Friday. Amen. They go down there to Walmart and Target and Penny's and wherever they go to shop at, and they're ready to fight before they ever get there. Somebody hit me right there. I don't need a sale that bad. Amen. Amen. I probably ordered online cheaper anyway. I have read for them that the sales on Black Friday are not as good as the sales before Black Friday. I felt something right then, just went, oh. Sounded like some ladies in here, like they got discouraged, Brother Donnie, right there. I don't know. But I wanna notice a few things here, and as we look at this text and we see how that they came together. I mean, some unusual situations, if you would, just over the mere fact, the fact that they come to get him, and when they come and ask for him, they're looking for him, and he says, "I am he." Very, very powerful. Very, very powerful words comes out of his mouth of the truth. And even though they fall backwards, and even though that they're looking at him thinking, "We've got to take you in," they're forgetting the very fact that only just a few verses back, Brother Mike, he just touched a man's ear and healed him. Can I be honest with you? If I'm going to look for somebody and I got to take him into the sheriff, and that man, I just witnessed him taking a man that his ears cut off and touching it and making it healed, I think I'm just going to tell the sheriff he's going to have to come get himself. Amen. You say you scared of Jesus? Amen. And anybody else that can put a man's ear back on, hallelujah. Amen. And so as we look at this, it's quite unusual. He just healed this man. He just healed this man, and they come looking for him. And there's a crowd there. Verse number 12, the Bible said, "Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus." I was reading. I don't know if there's any truth to this or not, but I've heard that these bands could have as many as possibly 500 men within them. I believe this. I believe that they didn't come with just four or five guys. They come with a crowd. They come with swords. They come with staves. They come with lanterns. It's nighttime. It's dark. The hour's dark. Listen, can I say this? We're living in a dark hour tonight, but people ain't looking for Jesus. Amen. I mean, we got plenty of room on the pews, and there's enough people that lives right behind us right here to fill this church up three times, probably. Man, it's dark. It's dark. It's a late hour. I believe it's in the last hours. And ain't nobody looking for Jesus. I hope that ain't my fault. I hope that ain't my fault. It's unusual. It's unlawful. It's unlawful. Robinson said the wrestlers had no warrant in law with no charge against him. Nothing against him. There's no documentation. You go to somebody's house now and say, "Hey, we need to search your house." They say, "You got a warrant?" They didn't have nothing. Have nothing. They just mad. They're mad because of who he was. They're mad because of the attention he was getting. They're mad because of what he said he's going to do. They're mad because of who he said he was. I'm saying they just mad. They're just mad because they can be mad because everything he was saying about himself was taking away attention from them. Can I say it's a pitiful time in the church? It's a pitiful time in the house of God and how we live in. If talking about Jesus bothers you because it takes attention away from you and puts it on Him, hey, everything we do, whether we're singing a song, or whether we're testifying, or whether we're taking up an offering, or whether we're mowing the grass, it all ought to glorify God. Whatsoever you do, do as unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do. Say, it's a sad hour. Sad hour when it bother us because Jesus got the attention. And that's what bothered them. Unusual, unlawful. Can I say this? Let me flip back over here. I thought I marked the Bible, but I didn't. But it won't take another minute to find it. In Matthew chapter number 26. In Matthew chapter number 26. And verse number 59. In Matthew chapter number 26. And verse number 59. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. They couldn't even find nobody that had the truth. They were settled with looking for a false witness. A lot of false witness going on, Brother Darnell. In this world we're living in. There's a lot of false witness. There's a lot of people said bad things about the Lord Jesus. But they ain't so. Why don't they say something good about Him? Amen. Hey, they spend more time trying to find out something bad about Jesus and something good about Muhammad. They spend all their time to try to find something bad about the church and try to find out something bad about the church folk, about the men of God in the church house. They spend all their valuable, precious time looking for bad stuff to say about the operational side of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done at Calvary and the good grace of God. They don't spend that much time just trying to go out there and win somebody to God and keep them out of hell. Amen. Just keep them out of hell. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be doing, Brother Dan. Since 1987, I've been trying to preach the gospel. And as one preacher said, what I've been doing since 1987 is trying to keep people out of hell. Amen. And there's many other preachers in here tonight doing the same thing. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. I ain't looking for no fault in you. Amen. I told somebody yesterday, I forget who it was I was even talking to now. That's the good part about getting old, man. You just tell the same story over and over and you think it's fresh every time. Hallelujah. I guess when it gets to the place where people quit smiling over that same joke, amen. You just look at it and say, I probably told this one a time or two. I better not tell that. I probably told a dozen times. Got me nervous now, Brother Mike. Amen. I had to go find a false witness. They couldn't even find nobody to step up and say, hey, this is the truth, what I'm fixing to tell. There's enough lying spirits around. You're not going to believe this tonight, probably, but I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, there's a lot of folk probably in this town wish this church wasn't here no more. And if they got to tell a lie on it, they'll do it. So why? They are an antichrist. Not thee. But there's many. And I promise you, if they go against the Lord Jesus Christ, they are anti-Christ. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice this. This time right here, this time when these people come together, they come. Listen, you know what? Evil people don't need facts. Evil people don't need facts. I wonder, Brother John, what they say about y'all down there. What's that crazy preacher doing down here in this part of town? Man, he's in a good part of town. I believe, listen, Brother Ruby's been my friend a long time. I got no reason in the world to believe he'd tell me a story. They had a chained air conditioners into the walls. People steal them out of the walls. Amen. That's all right. They didn't steal our air conditioner, brother. They just cut the line, huffed all the Freon out of it. But we have had them come in here and steal the pennies. Amen. You say, what do you do to someone like that? Well, the Lord knows where they are. As far as I know, they didn't ever catch them. They did. They tried to get the mustard, the mayonnaise, the griddle, everything from next door. The Lord knows about all that. Could you imagine, and we ain't even got this text, this point just yet, but could you imagine all these people standing there? And then they don't even realize this, but this is the Creator of the universe in their presence. Wow. Let's move on where it just makes that picture so big that you'd be like, oh man. The Bible tells it. It ain't me. The Bible tells it. But the Creator of the universe now is standing in their presence. Let's see what transpires. Let's see what transpires. Because we've already determined evil people don't need facts. All they need is a wicked heart, and they got it. They got that. They got a heart. They got a heart filled with hatred. Let's look. There's a crowd right here. There's a crowd. We've already read about them. Called the band, the captains, and the officers. You know what that is? That's the blind leading the blind. That's all that is. You know what they're going to do? They're going to fall in a ditch. You know what happens when the blind tries to lead the blind? The blind's going to follow the blind. But the blind that's leading ain't taking the blind nowhere. They ain't going nowhere. They think they are. They think it's all okay. They think it's all good. But they don't realize it's a blind man leading them. It's a blind man leading them. And man, they're in trouble and don't even know it. They ain't got one of them white sticks, Brother Darnell. Hey, man, they're like a pinball bouncing off the inside of this world. Going all over the place, everywhere. It was corrupt leaders giving corrupt orders. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Man. What you going to, hey, how would you like to be the blind leader and everybody you've led out of the way fall into the ditch and they say, what are we doing in the ditch? What are you going to say? So, well, I hate to say this, but I guess I'm blind. I'm selling the ditch. No, pride will never let you say that. Jesus had to say that. Pride never let you say that. We see that the character of these fellows, they're blind. But I want you to notice what happens. The whole group is given credit for arresting Jesus. Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. How many people do you think literally bound him? Now, I've watched cops, and you know I love to see it. Especially when the dogs is involved. I just love it. I can't help it. At the most I've ever seen that I could visualize, Brother Lee, I try to watch it. And if they, when they do make an arrest that somebody is resisting, at the best, maybe 6, 8, maybe 10 men jump on him. You know, a couple on the head, knees on the head, and in the back, and 2 biting the foot, and I don't know what all they doing. But what I'm saying is they just is not enough room for the band. And everybody else is mentioned right there to take part in that. However, everybody will be held accountable. Everybody. Seemed like I read a verse about this thing here. Whereby one man sinned. Just one man did it. That's what I read. Just one man did it. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Now, exactly what Adam did there in the garden, the best we know, according to the scriptures, the best we know, Brother Danny, he was put in a predicament. His wife had eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He was told not to. I'm wanting to think in his mind, he told her not to. And now she is eating anyway because she's been deceived by the deceiver. another situation of blind leading blind, maybe. And he's got to decide, am I going to watch her die and be separated from God and from me? Or am I going to die with her? Now this makes a wonderful love story if you're looking for a nice love story. But the fact of the matter is, we're fooled by one man's sin. By Adam's sin. Made you a sinner. You a sinner. And I don't mean just a sinner, but I'm talking about a sinner that the condemnation that's laid on you now is an eternal suffering in hell itself. I'm not talking about a slap on the wrist. I'm not talking about you just going to get up there at the judgment seat of Christ, or if you're saved, or at the white throne judgment if you're lost, and God said, well, you know, you ought not done that, but, you know, I got a loving and compassionate heart. That ain't the same God you read about that Bible. They going to be dues paid somewhere. Somebody's going to pay for that sin. But we see as these men now, the whole outfit's guilty, and this man now that they're all guilty and they're all going to pay and they're all going to stand, they're all going to remember that day. I believe with all my heart. I believe, Brother Darnell, with all my heart, that day when they stand before God, that white throne judgment, that day will be fresh in their mind what they've done to Jesus. Can I tell you, I believe every time you and I do wrong, when we think thoughts we ought not think, when we go places we ought not go, and do things we ought not do, and use excuses that don't make sense, I believe we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, those very thoughts will be fresh before God. They'll be fresh. Fresh. Mama. What a bold bunch. But they've come. And they've come to hurt him. Are you listening to me? They've come to hurt him. If a man breaks in your house and you're at home, he's invaded your privacy. If he breaks in your house and your home, he's ready to hurt you. I look at it like this here. If a man breaks in my house in the middle of the night, he knows odds are greatly against the fact that there's not a gun in there. Odds are greatly against that. Odds are even greater that there ain't a gun on the nightstand. I mean, the odds keep stacking. And the odds have now got to the place, Brother Denny, that he's walking out there alive. Amen. See, Brother Edward Jordan, I'll think like that. He comes in there to hurt me. Let me tell you what he done to Jesus. In the beginning, they didn't care that it hurt, that he was rejected. In the beginning, they did not care that he was hurt. I thought I saw Sister Lauren. There she is. You was over here a while ago, wasn't you? Sister Lauren, got that brand new baby. Sister Kelly, she's not long away. Wednesday. Don't nobody bump her. Stay away. Little girl, move down. I'm just kidding you. She started to slide down, Brother Donnie. Sister Julie, you all right. She needs you. You stay right. You can get a little closer if you need to, okay? She needs mom, don't she? I'm telling you, it would have hurt. It would have broke your heart after all the preparation and everything if you'd went to that hospital to have that little baby girl. And they said, we got no more rooms in here. And nobody else does either. I'm telling you, it hurt. And they didn't care. They didn't care that it hurt when he came into this world. They didn't care that it hurt whenever he said, I'm he. And they still didn't know who he was. I wonder how many times you and I have went to church, just going to church. And honestly, you be honest with me. If he would have showed up that day, we wouldn't have known it. And it might have been that Brother Darnell was sitting over there weeping and crying, thinking about how good it was to be in God's house with the Lord. Brother John might have been over there just tears running down his face, thinking about what's so good. And somebody somewhere sitting there going, I'm just wanting to think that hurt. The Savior. The Savior. Let's look on. Three things that they really was interested in doing. They bound him. According to history, the binding took place with his hands behind his back. It's almost humorous to even think about somebody being able to consider that they could bind Jesus. I mean, come on. Thank you. That's all that was. That's part of this trip right here. And they put chains on him. According to history, Brother Albert, they also put a chain around his neck that hooked to the chains. Their first intent, I believe this here, their first intent. It's not like them socks. I just noticed that. I ain't got none that wild. Don't let that man in the corner see him. He'll want them. I'm telling you. I like them. First thing they intended to do was to hurt him. They wanted to hurt him. They wanted to hurt him in his birth. And they wanted to hurt him in his death. And they wanted to hurt him all along the way. They wanted to hurt him. I don't know if you've ever had a pair of handcuffs on, but they tell me that if they put them too tight, they can be painful. I have heard people say, that's too tight. And that means they was hurting. So they could be too tight. It could be that chain they put around his neck was kind of tight. Do you think they cared?
No.
If it was? They intended to hurt him. Not only was this a time and a process of inflicting pain on the Savior, they were glad to be a part of this. They were glad to be able to say, hey, we hurt him. But it was also a time of humbling. Whew. Could you imagine the King of Glory walking about like a soul slave? Now, please don't forget this. Every time we look at a picture of him, I want you to get a real good picture of you. Because everything that they done to him, he let them do to him because of me and you. And all these folks that's run up and down the country fussing and fighting and arguing and kicking and pawing and snorting and snotting and whatever it is they do, and they like having a good time at it, they ain't looking at him. They ain't looking at him, Leo. If they was looking at him, it'd be hard for them not to see themselves. It's hard for me not to look at Calvary and not think about what he's done for me. It's real hard, I'm telling you. We see how that this binding absolutely dishonored him. I've said I like to watch cops. One of the things that they really seem to me like they really take pride in doing, they really take pride in doing this, it's humiliating whoever it is they arrest. You say, well, they ought not do that stuff. That's part of the process. I don't know if you can understand what Brother Darnell said, but he said they shouldn't break the law. Humiliating. Nobody likes to be humiliated. Nobody likes to be embarrassed. What's real bad is when you ain't done nothing wrong and they treat you like that. What's real bad is whenever you have done absolutely nothing wrong, when you have absolutely not even sinned, and their intent is to hurt you, and their intent is to humiliate you. You want to know what kind of God attributes he had in him? He just stood there and took it. Man, I couldn't have done that. I know, but back in Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says he was like a sheep, dumb before his shears and open not his mouth. He couldn't say nothing. He had to, but Jody, he had to take it all. Whatever they done, he had to take it all. You say, that was just for me. That was for me. That was for fulfillment of the Scriptures. Wow. Wow. Wow, what a God. He ain't forgotten nothing from days gone by. He ain't forgot what Isaiah wrote about him. He ain't forgot Psalm 22. He ain't forgot Genesis 3:15. I'm saying he's got it all recorded. He is the living Word of God. He knows what it is. Man. What a Savior. Woo! What a God. What a God. Glory to God. What a Savior. Hallelujah. Thank God he paid my debt. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! It's hurtful. They bound him. It hurt him. They bound him. It was humbling. I'd like to say, they bound him and it was hideous. Hideous. It's just hideous. Ridiculous. Crazy. Bind him? You bind the Savior? Are you kidding me? You know what they done? They took the precious hands of a Savior and tried to confine them. They thought they bound him, Brother Gary. They forgot those hands. Those hands once held a hammer. Those hands once held a chisel. Those hands knew how to work a plane. Build houses, whatever it needed to be. Those hands knew how to do it. How you going to bind a hand that has such knowledge like that? How you going to bind a hand that one day could walk past a blind man and touch his eyes with that same hand and heal him? How you going to bind a man that can't hear nothing and go by and touch his deaf ear and heal him? How you going to bind the hands of a man that can touch a man's tongue that can't speak and loose it and let him speak? How you going to bind those kind of hands like that? How you going to bind the hand of a man that's able to touch a casket in process to a funeral and stop it, and there ain't no need to go no further for the funeral because there ain't nobody dead? How you going to buy them kind of hands? You can't do it. How you going to buy them hands? How you going to buy hands? How you going to buy hands, Brother Danny, that one day just took stars and just flung them to their perfect spot? How you going to buy hands that one day measured out the waters of this world in them hands like that? How you going to bind them hands? I'm telling you, how you going to bind them? It's hideous to think about. They bound him. I'm saying tonight, We get to looking at the crucifixion. They didn't kill him. He said, no man taketh my life. Evil's always trying to stop good. You know, sometimes, and Brother Andrew, sometimes it does us good to examine ourselves. The song says, the psalmist said, search me, O God. Search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Let me ask this here. If the Lord found a wicked way in you, would you want Him to get rid of it? It's already been there a long time. You've been content with it for a good while. Why now do you think you'd want Him to get rid of it? Here's why I think, Lindsay. Because sometimes those wicked ways in us are there and hidden and dormant and may have been there for a long time. And they might not have hurt nobody yet, but they're laying there in wait to pounce like that lion. And wouldn't it be great if before it ever did, before it ever ruined their life, before it ever throwed us off in a hog pen, before it ever got us off out in the cesspools of this world, wouldn't it be great if God would say, I can see there's a wicked way in you and it needs to go. And we'd just say, get it out, God, get it out. Get it out. I don't want to leave here tonight, Lord. I don't want to leave here tonight with that wicked way in me. That's what all this process of crucifixion is for. Take care of stuff like this. We become so braggadocious on ourselves. That preacher preached a message. I got a message. I'll give it to you before you leave. If you remind me, I'll tell you what you just listen to at your ease. How's your spirit? How's your spirit? Your spirit looking for self-glory? That ain't God's spirit. And in God's spirit. I've heard people use every excuse in the world. Well, I'm that's just the way I am. Well, that's where my daddy was. Well, that's I'm not from. This ain't about where you're from, who your daddy was, what you like, or nothing else. This is how is your spirit. You didn't get one either, did you? You wanted one. I got you. I just thought about that because you gave yours away the other night. I meant to thought about it. Thank you, brother. That's a humble guy right here. I love him. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew tells his story. Verse 55, the Bible said, in the same hour, said Jesus to the multitude, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. And he said, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now, I'm finished. I'm just going to tell you. I'm going to tell you a little something right here that I gleaned from the Gospels about in their story. If you read Matthew's version of the story, you'll find out that they got him. They grabbed him. This is after the disciples have fled. They've gotten away from him. And standing before the priest asked him a question. And he said something to the priest, Brother Gary. And the people began to spit on him and buffet him, and they slapped him with the palms of their hand. That's what Matthew said. Mark tells his story, and he says the same thing. They spat on him. They slapped him. They said, prophesy. Who did hit you? Now, Luke's a physician. Doctors talk different than worldly folk. You understand what I mean by that? Unfortunately, most of the time, when I go to the doctor, he tells me something wrong. I have to relate back on this whole phrase here. Explain yourself. Because they'll use terminologies a lot of times, but I may not understand them. Luke said they hit him with the palm of their hand. Luke didn't elaborate about this spitting thing. That doctor understood. This won't help nobody if I tell them about how Matthew and Mark talk about how they spat on him. I don't know about you, but somebody spits on me, that I got a knife in both pockets. Amen. Tonight. Something wrong with a man ain't got two knives. I'm just kidding. You don't have to carry a knife if you don't want to, but I highly recommend them. Anyway. Then comes John. Oh, Joe. You know what John said about himself? He says, the disciple whom the Lord loveth. I wonder when the Holy Ghost told him about writing about this. I wonder if he wouldn't have weeping. I wonder by the night did he break down. Oh God, please don't let me have to write down that they spat on my Savior. I wonder, Brother Jody, did it bother him so bad? He loved the Lord. He loved him. One time he said he just laid his head on his chest. My Savior might not mean much to you, but I remember that Thursday night when he rescued me. I remember that night, Brother Michael, whenever he saved my soul. I was headed to hell. I mean, an undone piece of speck of dirt, trash. What if you want to call me? I'll just say yes. John said, he loves me and I love him. And the worst thing that John, I believe the Holy Ghost gave him liberty. John said they hit him. And that's all I want to say about it. They hit him. They hit my Savior. They smote him with his hand. He wouldn't tell nobody how they spat on him. He wouldn't tell nobody how they ridiculed him like they did. And he wouldn't tell nobody how they slapped him. The Bible said they covered his face. Mark said they covered his face and hit him. And this is prophesy, who hit you? John didn't want to tell about all that stuff like that. John said, I love him. And he ain't never been nothing but good to me. And I ain't going to hell tonight because of him. And I just want the world to know he's wonderful. Yeah. He's altogether lovely. Yes, he's a friend of sinners if you want to say something about him. He comes to seek and to save that which is lost. He cares about little churches on the side of the road. They don't have to be running 10,000. It can just be a small body of believers where two or three are gathered in His name. And He wants to be right in the midst of them. I'm saying tonight, He's a great God and I love Him. 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 And I hope this tonight, I really do. I hope that we've got enough picture of crucifixion to really see how much He loves us. This will hurt your feelings, what I'm going to say. But I really don't care. I really don't think. If I'm wrong, I know which judgment He can correct me at. I will be at the judgment seat of Christ. If I'm wrong, I'm fine with His rebuke and reproving. But I really don't think He cares nothing about the Jaguars. I really don't. I don't think He cares nothing about the Atlanta Hawks or whatever. They might be Condors. They might be Redbirds. I don't know. I don't know what they are. I'm talking about the sports team, though. I know. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I don't think He cares nothing about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't think He cares nothing about the Country Music Awards. I don't think He cares nothing about dieting with oldies or whatever that other thing was that promoted that. I seen on the headlines the other day he was missing. Whoever that fellow was twisting with the oldies, trying to get rid of the weight. Y'all know what I'm talking about? He was twisting, brother. I mean, you know what I'm talking? I've seen that, Brother Mike. Please forgive me for thinking like this. But when I read that news caption said he's missing, I said, who cares? Tell you what I think He cares about. He cares about young men. Young men. Young ladies. Teenagers. That He can use for His glory. If you just let Him. That's the only determining factor. You got to let Him. You say, I got other stuff I want to do. Don't listen to the devil. You know who Glenda Hamilton is? Glenda Hamilton? Orlando? Preached the message, don't deal with the devil. I'm telling you, young people, don't you deal with the devil. When He's through with you, I promise you there ain't nothing left. There ain't nothing left. You'll be dead on the side of the road. Tim Green preached that message on about them wolves. He said this about them wolves. He said, I've seen grown wolves. The man that was telling the story has seen grown wolves that were not dead with a large portion of their rump eaten out by the wolves. He's seen moose. He's grown moose. Is that what I said? Grown moose. That's what I meant. He said he's seen them where they kill them and do nothing but just eat their tongue out. Full grown moose. That's what the devil do to you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, you don't think it. You don't think it when you're this age. John Owens, 11? 9. He wants to be 11. Well, get the mind of mom and daddy. You won't never see it. Amen. He does good. He does good sometimes. Amen. It's just Molly he don't mind very well. Amen. When you're this age, when you're 9, you don't think about the devil wanting you. You think about Jesus loving you. When you get 17, 18, Then you quit thinking about Jesus loving you, and you think about loving yourself. And by the time that you've got to be an adult, you're so set in your ways, it don't make no difference if Jesus loves you or the devil loves you. You're going to do what you want anyway. R.A. Torrey said this. R.A. Torrey said, there's enough been done at Calvary. There's enough been done. Listen close to what I'm saying. There's enough been done at Calvary to change the world. Everything that's going to be done was done there. I pray this a lot, and I probably shouldn't even pray it. It becomes a repetitious prayer on my part. God, show them you love them. Show them you love them. He did. At Calvary. Now, the determining factor now is, what do you want? Now it's down to your will. Now it's what will you decide. I promise you. He'll roll the film back for every person if he needs to. If he remembered the scriptures from way back then to be fulfilled, roughly 2,000 years had passed. Roughly 2,000 years had passed from that time till his crucifixion. Roughly 2,000 years have passed from then till now. He's still remembering. Let's all stand together if you would please. Get me a piano player.